Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck on The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steeg, a self proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the power of words. Our very special guest, Mr. Virgil Roberts. There are ways Words are used to impact on people. Words are made of letters that conceal the true meaning of the word. Have you ever wondered about the origin of words and the letters that make the words? Is there a meaning behind the meaning of a word? Can we hear a word and unwittingly or unconsciously be affected by its true meaning? How might those words be impacting on our behavior today? Our very, very special guest is going to enlighten us about the origin and meaning of words. I'd like to welcome Mr. Virgil Roberts to the show.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Really appreciate it, man. So I'm going to first start off by saying that I am not an expert in anything. I have read books, many books. I've done some studying. I'm still discovering truth, still digging into what it is that I have uncovered and still refining what it is that I know about these things. So I am going to... I told you not to bother me on a radio show. Jeez. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. So I will say that I'm just an average Joe. Of course, my name is Virgil Roberts. So I will start off by saying that there definitely is a secret language behind the ordinary words that we hear, and particularly the advertisements that we see. For instance, in the city of Philadelphia, maybe about 6-7 years ago, there were a number of advertisements that had these circles. And then above the circle picture or whatever it was, there would be a caption. One in particular had showed us a dirty street block, trash strewn all over the place, and that is what the circle captured. I mean, the circle, the whole purpose of the circle is for you to focus on whatever's inside of it. So the caption read, "Disrespect has never been so clear." Now, those are kind of strange words to hear. Disrespect has never been so clear. If you're trying to say the streets are dirty, why don't you just say the streets are dirty and clean it up? Let's clean up Philadelphia. But no, the sign said disrespect has never been so clear. So in the secret language, which happens to be ancient words of African origin, surprise, surprise, the word disrespect is tes, meaning to be grabbed or binded to, and then res, which means to raise, and then pect, P-E-C-T, which basically means birth. So you're being binded to some sort of idea that's being raised. And then it says disrespect has, the word has is the Egyptian word hes. Hes is the throne in Egypt. And basically the word also means to obey. So you have an idea that you're being bound to and raised, and then the next word says hes, to obey. Disrespect has never. The word never is nef-fer. Nef means breath, is the breath of life. So in other words, this idea is being infused with life. And then the word ver indicates the top of a mountain or a goal. So whatever the goal is, it is being infused with the breath of life, never. Disrespect has never been. Ben is also... The name Ben is exactly like the word ver. V-E-R and B-E-N are synonymous. They're both the top of a mountain, indicating a goal. Okay, so disrespect has never been so. The word so would be the word sa, the Egyptian word sa, which means to perceive something. Disrespect has never been so clear. The word clear, C-L-E-A-R, C-L-E or C-L-A or C-L-U or C-L-I, those three letters together mean to seize something. And then the last part of that word, clear, C-L-E-A-R, A-R, the two letters A-R, indicate a goal or an end product or some sort of effect that you're trying to reach. So basically, the entire message, disrespect has never been so clear, is actually saying the exact opposite of what is being portrayed or what is assumed to be portrayed on the advertisement. The advertisement is you get the assumption would be, you know, disrespect has never been so clear, pick up the trash in the streets, but actually the secret language is saying the exact opposite. It's saying to dirty up the city. Now, we'll get into some of the reasons why you want to dirty the city up later, you know, but many people throughout the city seem to live in an area where it's inundated with, let's say, litter on the ground, and there's a reason for that. Okay, so now, to understand a large portion of this conversation, it is necessary for us to have a conversation about the nature of our existence. But let me first say this much. When I talk about words, there is an interchange that is happening with regard with, for instance, vowels. Vowels can be interchanged with each other. For instance, an A can be replaced with an E or an I or O or U or Y. Okay? That goes for all the vowels. E can be replaced with I and A and O and U. All of them interchange. Now, consonants are also interchangeable. There is a pathway, but they're all interchangeable through the letter H. And we'll talk about the reason for that later. But everybody's probably aware of this. C and K sound alike, so they're interchangeable. C and S also interchange. For instance, C, a soft C, has the sound of an S, like in the word cinnamon or the word center. Okay, so M and N are interchangeable as well. M and N are actually Egyptian ideographs of water. Okay, R and L are interchangeable. They were derived from the head and the tail of a lion. Okay, and then T and D are interchangeable. They're all interchangeable, but there's a certain pathway. And as I said, all of them are interchangeable through the letter H, because H, if you look at the letter H, it is two parallel bars joined by a bar in the middle, which is basically heaven and earth being joined or conjoined together, which sounds kind of crazy right now, but for you guys who are really deep thinkers, you'll kind of get that. So when I talk about words, for instance, if I say the word stair, you know, like a staircase, S-T-A-I-R, that sounds exactly like the word stare. I'm going to stare at you. I'm going to keep looking at you, which is S-T-A-R-E. However, you can see that there can be an interchange of the vowels there. The S-T-A-I-R, the I can be moved to the N and become an E in the S-T-A-R-E. Hopefully most of you guys are following me right now. It might sound kind of crazy, but if you write this down on paper, you can see it. Another example, the word more, I need more of this or I need more of that, I need more money, don't we all? And then the word more, M-O-O-R, which is the name of a certain group of people who dominated Europe, melanated people who dominated Europe. Okay, that sounds the same, but you can see that M-O-R-E, the E is actually one of the O's. You know, it got moved to the end. Okay, or the word deer, D-E-E-R, as opposed to the word deer, D-E-A-R. So the D-E-E, one of the E's got changed to an A. Okay, so there we have it. We're dealing with that type of thing. Now, most of you guys are familiar with the word ketchup and catsup. Notice how similar those words are, and of course they're the same. They're talking about the same thing, which is a tomato product that you put on your French fries. But you have catsup, C-A-T-S-U-P, and then you have ketchup, K-E-T-C-H-U-P. I think I got that correct. If you can see that the catsup is ketchup, the C, the hard C, is actually the S in catsup. All right? So we'll come back to that a little later, so like that. But this is the thing with words, okay? There are a number of words you can actually look at them and see that they're the same words, just that the letters may be moved around in a different order, or the vowels may be changed. All right, so now we're going to get into a discussion about the true nature of our existence, the true physical nature of our existence. Most people would argue that everything in our physical existence is solid. Our bodies, all the objects, books, a chair, a rock, a tree, all these things are solid objects. However, in physics, and most people have no care for physics or even study it, the physicists have said that everything that we perceive as material existence, solid, is actually 99.9% nothing, or thin air, or they describe it as empty space. So that sounds totally crazy to all of us. That's something you can't really take to the bank. You know, it's like, you know, how are you going to convince yourself that, hey, this rock is not, you know, this rock that somebody's banging up beside my head is not solid, you know. But in as physicists have proven, as Eastern mystics have proved, these things are not solid. To our consciousness in this realm, it is solid. But in the overall scheme of time, it is not. All right, so let's look at a diagram, if we will, of the elements. I've never truly understood what the elements were all about until I did some deep thinking on it. And this might actually make it all clear for all you guys. If you look at the elements, you have five of them. You have ether, air, fire, water, and earth. Now, as you go from the top to the bottom, what is happening? Can you see what's happening? I'll say it again. Ether, air, fire, water, earth. All right, now for those of you who are thinking, you know, maybe on a deeper little level there, you can see that when you talk about ether is the element that is hidden. It's not even in this realm that we exist in. You know, it's immaterial, totally. You can't grab it at all. You know, you can't even feel it. Now, when we talk, if we go down to air, which is the next element down, air, you can actually feel air. You can't necessarily grab it, but you can feel air. Now, air is thicker than ether, okay? And then if we go down to the next element, fire, fire is like air that now has a bit of heaviness to it. You know, you feel you're in a room and the temperature goes up, you feel like it's, you know, it's harder to breathe because the air has become thicker in a certain sense. So fire is now going down the ladder in density. Everything's getting thicker. You know, ether is, you can't grab it. The air now is you can actually feel air, and then fire is now air with a more heaviness to it. Then you come to water. Water is truly a magical element because it is has elements of being solid but not being solid at the same time. You know, so it can penetrate things, as Bruce Lee would say, it can penetrate the hardest rock, but it's the softest substance in the world. You know, so that's water. And then we come to the final stage, which we call earth, which we all know as being solid. You know, we can grab that. Now, water, we can somewhat get a hold of, but not really. You can't really grab it until you put it into a container. But so when we look at these elements and going down from the top to the bottom, what we see is a progression of coming from the spirit realm, if you will, into physical manifestation. In other words, you're coming from nothingness into something that you can feel. So this right here is the true nature of our existence. You know, even though we feel that we are solid in the whole span of time, we're not really solid. And let me explain it this way. When you look at a body of water like the ocean, on the surface of the ocean, you see differentiations. You see waves. You see differentiations in size and viscosity, density. You see different shapes, you know, different sizes of waves, you know, different colorations in the water when you see waves, foam. That's kind of like what people are. People are like differentiations of water on the surface of an ocean. Yet when you go underneath the surface of the ocean, everything looks like oneness. You don't see any differentiations. You see nothing but just clear substance. Okay, so, but yet the surface and the underside of the ocean are one and the same. So it's the same thing with us. People, all these different forms that we see are nothing but formations, you know, of energy. And that's the whole thing we have to get used to, is we have to start thinking in a metaphorical way, which is if we look at an ocean as water, we should be able to look at ourselves in a certain same way, if that makes any sense, what I just said. So that right there is the nature of our existence. Now, if we look at ourselves as being all energy, a body of energy, just like the ocean being a body of water, when you move your own body, you move an arm or a leg, it takes first a thought to do that. And a thought is nothing but a symbol and the same thing as a word, okay? That's how we move things. It's the same thing with the ocean that we live in that we call our universe, we are all inside of this ocean, this big universal ocean, and we're all part of it. It's all one, just like the body of water, the waves, and the underside of the surface of the water. It's all one body. So if you and the universe are one and the same, that means, and there is the ability to think and use a symbol to actually cause some sort of movement. This is the same thing as we thinking to move our arm or our leg with a thought, which is a symbol, which is a word. Now, we get into the Bible in John 1:1. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so right there, that is essentially saying, in my mind, that everything is a word, and everything is God. Of course, that's very difficult for a lot of people to hear, that everything is God. But this is the truth of our existence, and this is said several times in the Bible, as, for instance, Genesis 23:6, is it, I think it is, where it says, man is made in the image of likeness of God. Psalm 82:6, I say ye are gods, which starts off, actually Psalms 82 starts off, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth amongst the gods. So there are levels to our existence, which is the meaning of that particular biblical scripture right there. But getting back to words right now, words, even though we may say, I don't know the meaning of that word, this word, that word, there is a psychocultural memory that all human beings share. In other words, when the first human beings first started to use words and they started to take their thoughts and actually coin them into something, that memory still survives in every human being on the planet. Even though they may not even know the word right now, they will hear a word and it will still affect them. So that is the power of words. Now, for instance, I'll talk about certain words that you hear all the time. The word Hess, as I explained before, Hess has many meanings, okay, just like a lot of words, they have many meanings, but you have to find the meaning that applies to the situation you're dealing with right now. Now, Hess, as I said earlier, is the throne. It was the throne that the great mother sat on in Egypt. Hess also means to bow and basically obey. So the word Hess is contained within the word history, okay? So when somebody says that something is historical, that word historical is affecting your mind, unbeknownst to you, to convince you of the truth of whatever somebody is putting forth as history. In other words, it may not be a correct rendering of history, but the word Hess is making you be convinced of its authenticity because it's telling you to obey. It's telling you to obey Hestori, to obey the Ori, or the oral. Okay, so another example of the word Hess, and this is to be found as something that is consumed by many people. You remember when many of you, I'm quite sure, have heard about the free government cheese lines they used to have, where they have a truck and people come in and they just get free cheeses, free blocks of cheese. Well, let's look at the word cheese. You got C-H-E-E-S-E. So it contains the word Hess in it. All right, let me write that up for myself here. C-H-E-E-S-E. Now, you see two E's there, but that doesn't matter because you can take one of those E's and eliminate it. So you still, you, in the middle of that word cheese, you got the word Hess. So when somebody's giving you some cheese for free, because the word free has a meaning to it as well, and we'll talk about that a little later, the word cheese has the word Hess, which means to obey. So now you're being made to obey something unbeknownst to you. And the question would be, what am I being made to obey? You know, now there's a metaphor, of course, talking about fish and a fish being in water. And it says that the last thing a fish would ever notice is water. And why is that? Because a fish lives in water. So if you're surrounded every day by words, every common day words, and you believe that, as many people do, that it has certain meanings to it, which it does, of course, but the scope of the meaning is very limited, especially the way they have taught us in school, then you are kind of stuck in thinking that, you know, of those meanings, not aware at all that there is a larger scope of meaning and thus a larger scope of effect that is being enacted upon you. Okay? So, going back to the word cheese again, cheese has the word Hess in it, so it is telling you to obey something. When we look at the word television, many people think that television is an object. And this happens a lot with English. You know, we have a tendency to crystallize our words into some sort of formation. But if you look at the word television, it's saying tell a vision. So you're being told a vision. Now that's a very surface interpretation. Is it even a deeper interpretation than that? But I won't get into that right now.
Okay. Stop you for a minute. The thing with the cheese. What you said. I wanted to go back to that, but we got a caller, so I'm gonna let this caller in, and then I'm gonna ask you a question. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Hello, caller 4159.
Salaam alaikum, Carlton. And
wa alaikum assalam.
I'm listening to your examples, and what I'm taking from that is a duality in some things, but some things are just not straightforward for the people
right.
that have been trained to understand words. There is a duality in the use of words and the phonetic characters of the words and their meaning, but it's only applicable to those that know. It's like going into a courtroom and you're being asked your name, and you know they're looking at the paper and they're reading your name in all capitals. Now, in their system, that can apply to two things. That can apply to you as your straw man, the imaginary person, because they don't know who you really are. Or
right.
you can answer to that name, and that name doesn't represent you because you are you. You're not just your name.
Right.
You are a person. You are who you are. But that system and their stronghold on the people is because they have a force, an army, police, to enforce a penalty. But if we just take those forces away, those words don't have any meaning to people who don't know what they mean. They're only going to mean what you've been taught that they mean. Every
right.
word that we have has a double meaning to it, especially even in another language. It's not going to mean the same thing, you know. Somebody might say zebra. It may not be a zebra. It may not like, sound like zebra in their language. Going back into the other thing that you were talking about as far as the elements and who we are and our purpose, each element has a purpose in the grand scale of the universe. So do we as humans. We have a purpose. We have all the elements within us. We have water within us. We have electricity within us. We have the minerals within us. And if we die and dry up, we become dust. So we are what this is. But we have a purpose, just like you said, with the ocean. The ocean has a purpose. The density of the water and the ocean and the currents is actually what gives us our weather. Okay? So when that system is off, our weather is off. Our weather is off. Without the earth, the density of the water could not contain itself. So we need the earth. The earth is here. It has a purpose. You know what I'm saying? Every fish in the ocean has a purpose. Mosquitoes, flies, everything has a purpose in our existence. But it seems as though we being the top predators, our purpose is to maintain our environment. If we were to go biblical, their purpose was to be farmers or workers. Even though they have the essence of a creator, of the creator. Now, going back to when you were talking about the word and God saying, you know, whatever the word is, and this shall be that, we do the same thing. We do the same thing through our thoughts, through the energy. This radio show is done by words, through a thought. Brother Carlton had the thought, I want to be on the radio, I want to do a show, so shall it be. It manifested itself. That's the power of the word and the thought, but there's energy and application behind it. So if I read something on a paper, if I read something on a paper and I know what all the characters of the alphabet mean and where they come from, right? I read that paper doesn't necessarily mean that there is a design always to trick me or mislead me. You understand what I'm saying? But
that is correct, my brother.
But if that same thing that's written on a piece of paper was designed by people such as a court to deceive you, so that when you walk inside the courtroom, the same things that you have learned as far as words don't mean exactly that in a court. Like person does not mean person. Your name does not mean your name. If you say, I understand, does not mean I understand. It means I overstand. Well, you can say I overstand, but to understand in a courtroom means that you, me as the judge, place you under me. Now, in that sense, we need to know what the meaning of the words are. That is the spell system. Those are the spells that they cast for people who don't know the system, the mystic system. But in the public generation, generalized population, the words we use are subjugate ourselves to the overpower of them. Now, in that sense, I say we need to learn the words, but only the words that are going to empower us or put us subjugated to another group of people who have taken the same words and made a mystic system out of it. But in general, when we read these words, they are exactly what we were taught, because this is a universal system for that. But beyond that, there is another realm, which if you want to go biblical, you can say that these are those in high places. And these that are in high places have a code system. You know, if you went to the Morris Temple of Science, you'll learn this. You'll know that, yes, there is another language, but it's within government. the same government that's using these languages are the same people who gave them the language, which are the Moors. So we're bound to something. This is why they didn't want us to read or write, so that we couldn't use the language. But now that we're here today, we can't take that same thing and say that it's applicable and apply to everything that we see on a daily. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to look for it on everything. We have to look for what's going to control us. Right now it's government, and even with what you said about television, yeah, we see the magic of television. I mean, if we really was to go back in a biblical sense, you know, I'm not good with quoting scriptures, but it said that the rocks, I had a rock speak out. Well, glass is made from rocks. Televisions had tubes. People spoke through glass and rock. You can get the truth or you can get a lie from it if we were going spiritual. But in just general everyday, no one's going to see it that way. But we have to specify where it's being used at. And where it's being used at is in how it controls us, and that's government. They do it every single day. Every single day, all the time, with different groups of people who look at the United States and say, no, we can't agree. You know, we have words like if, and but. Where other groups of people, there is no if, and, or but. That's my house. That's my house. There's no contract with an if in it. What's the if for? For us here, we're being trained to speak dualities. I can lie to you plainly because you don't know exactly what I'm saying, and that's the magic of it. But I'm not going to hold you anymore. That's just my little, you know, take on from what you're saying. You know, but to me, it's like we don't have to worry about all of everything that we see. We need to know what's controlling us. Because every day we read the newspaper.
You have to be able to discriminate, you know, and you have to first, you don't have to, but, you know, the thing is, if you want to be able to discriminate further than what is typical, you'd have to study some of these ancient words. I agree that everything is not out to control you. That's true. However, you have to be the one to be able to decide, you know, if there is intention to do that to you. So I agree with what you're saying, brother. Everything you said is on point. Thank you very much for sharing.
A lot of the things that they say don't even need to be said. They can just do it because they have an army. They have force. They take it by force. But at some particular time, some of these words did mean something to other groups of people. Some of the symbols. Now, if anything, I would say the symbols are more important than almost the words, because we have a lot of symbols that represent a lot of words, such as the World Trade Center. To some people, they just see, oh, it's just two buildings. People over in Saudi Arabia, other areas of the Middle East, they see that as phallic symbols, power symbols, the eagle, animals. You know, we have an animal. Somebody has a hawk. Somebody has a bird, or somebody has fire. Those symbols speak even more than the words themselves, because we come from the first language or written language was symbols. Was the symbol.
But, you know, words are still symbols too, you know.
Exactly. As I said, each character of the alphabet, you know, has a particular background to it, shape, and a meaning to it. It's like Chinese or a hieroglyph, you know, all of them does. But it's those symbols, it's that visual symbol that controls you more than anything beyond the words, you know. You can walk inside someplace. I mean, let me go back. It's clarified even more so today, because since now that people are talking about, you know, the Baphomet, and we're talking about Satanism and witchcraft and all these things, now these symbols that represent these religious and these deities are now being shown in abundance, and people are made more aware. You know, it's like seeing, you know, the Nazis. You know, we see that symbol, right? That's what we see. We see that, and we think, oh, man, you know, those are racists. You know,
fascist.
People who want to be
right.
superior. But if you take that same symbol and you go back and you start looking in history and books and artwork, you're going to find out that it's African, it's Ethiopian, and it means something totally different.
Right, exactly.
So someone can steal a symbol and steal a word and misguide you. But at the end, none of it's going to matter because it's an army that's going to control it. Their word
there are
is
other armies.
Their word.
There are other armies too, bro. There are other armies as well, not just physical armies that we're talking about here. So, you know, and I'll tell you something else too. Most people fear what it is you're talking about with that type of force, but I'm gonna tell you, there's a greater force that is so much more subtle, but we tend to not think of it as being powerful. You know, we think of the big and bulky as being more powerful, but it's simply not true. And I know this from music. You know, the softer side of music is actually more powerful in a lot of sense, you know. But anyway, I thank you for the call, Bill.
Yeah, well, going to what you just said, music, which I can relate to, music is very powerful because music works off of frequencies, and our body and our cells generate off of frequency as well. You know, so you have your high frequencies and you have your low frequencies. Each one of those frequencies off of the scale of the of music from C to C, right, is going to have a frequency. Those frequencies can control people, can control emotions, can be destructive, physically destructive, such as today we listen to a lot of hip-hop. Hip-hop uses a very low frequency for bass, the vibration. Science has already shown that frequencies in people who listen to that and it vibrates on them causes depression, anxiety.
Right.
But then those that listen to rock music and listen to music and frequencies above middle C start to age faster because it vibrates the atoms, the neurons, everything within you speeds up. So they start to notice that people that listen to that music elevate in their look, age. Now, taking it to a middle ground would be classical music. It's a balance. They have already shown that classical music from the frequencies given to even the young, a baby, tend to come out to be 20 times more intelligent, smarter, because of the frequencies. So I understand what you're saying when you're talking about there's a hidden agenda or you're trying to say in the spiritual realm, but it's physical also.
I definitely never said it wasn't, man. Definitely never said it wasn't, but you, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna tap out and let you guys finish, and thank you for hearing my take on what you were saying. Peace and blessings
thank you,
to
brother.
You both.
Thank you very
thank you.
Much.
We got Carlton.
Okay, you can continue. I was talking about the word cheese. I didn't get the gist of what you were saying about the word cheese. I know I got the you said
well,
hess. And
do you remember the word hess is contained in the word cheese? You know what the word hess means, right?
Right. No, you need to reiterate that because I'm not the only person listening.
Okay, the word hess is it means basically to obey. That's one of its meanings. Because hess is the throne that the great mother sat on in Egypt. You know, so as I was saying, any word that contains the word hess, if it is used with the intention of having somebody obey whatever it is somebody's pushing, it will have that effect. Intention is how symbols work. You have to intend for the symbol to have power. So if you use the word, a word containing the word hess, and you use it with intention, you know, it'll have that power, and it will be so extremely subtle, no one will notice it. You know,
right, understand.
For those,
I hear that. What does the word cheese have to do with?
The word cheese has the word hess in it.
Right, that makes you do what?
Hess means to obey.
Right, so
whatever,
obey what?
You're going to obey. So in other words, if I have an agenda, a hidden agenda, I say I want this person, when they consume this cheese, I want them to go out and spend $500 somewhere at my store. They're going to do that, and they don't understand why. You get what I'm saying?
No, I'm trying to get what you're saying. That's what I'm asking.
In other words, everything is like I said, everything is like John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Excuse me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything is everything. It's all energy. Therefore, if I have a word that says obey, whatever it is that I want you to obey, and it's you know, contained in other words, and I'm aware of that, and I use it, you're going to go and do my bidding.
Okay, well,
you get it?
I can use
the word history because the word history has hess in it. I can use the word cheese because the word cheese has hess in it. You know,
right.
Or I can find some other word that has the word hess in it. You know?
All right. Follow what I'm saying. I got what you say. I'm looking at the word cheese, and I don't see where I see the word cheese is going to make me do anything. But it just told me that, well, they sell cheese there. You know what I'm saying?
You're not getting it. Cheese has the word hess in it. Hess
means
to obey.
Got all that.
Okay, so if you're eating the cheese.
No, I don't eat cheese, and I don't buy cheese when
I'm not saying that you eat cheese. But I'm saying about if you were to consume the cheese, which is the word hess, then you know, unless you have the awareness, you might be obeying whatever my agenda is.
Right, but you don't see what I'm saying? That maybe that doesn't apply to the word cheese, even though it
doesn't have to. As I was saying, everything is by your intention. In other words, it could be that it's being used as a word of power to make you obey something or not.
Okay.
It depends upon whether or not somebody's going to be intentional.
All right, we have another call on 7261. Hold on for a minute. Hello, 7261. Welcome to Provocative Thoughts.
Okay, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, I'm Lee. I want to ask a question to Robert. Is this pertaining as well as dealing with the government as well, as far as obeying in the society arena? Is this this obey part, as far as the word hess and obey and cheese, is that dealing with what society has done with our grammar and everything, as far as obeying their strategy? Is that, has something to do with that? I'm just asking that question.
Any use, thank you for the question, by the way. Any use of the word hess used with intention for somebody to follow the dictates of another will have the power to make the person do that if the person has no awareness. So any word, you know, like I said, the word hess is in the word history. You know, how much they pushed history on us in school, You know, you got to study your American history. You know, this is historical. This is an American history that George Washington never told a lie. You know, now, you know, most people, you know, who, you know, years later when they realize, you know, that's, you know, kind of like a farce, you know, because everybody tells a lie here and there. It's like that. Everybody's told a lie in their life. But, you know, those people who are using that history, teaching that as history, and teaching it with the intention of misleading a whole bunch of kids, you know, it'll have that effect.
So
it can have that effect if they intend for it to have that effect.
So is it a way to look at the way schooling was or is now a corral of foolery, if I could use that word, and fooling people in dictatorship to be controlled by societal gain of the bigwigs, if you will, the bigwigs meaning the Democratic and the Republican factors who control most of society? Are we looking at it that way or in society?
Absolutely. It absolutely has the potential to be used that way. Yes, yes, it has the potential to be used that way.
Well, you know, since you mentioned that, the word mandate, that's something that everybody can identify with today, right?
Let me talk about that one, Carl, if I may. Now, most people don't know the meanings of the words like, for instance, require or mandate or mandatory. Well, let me explain something to you. Once you know the ancient meanings of those words and you can break that word up, for instance, the word mandatory is, if I were to break that up into Egyptian roots, you'd have men, which means to fix and establish. You'd have tot, which is the D-A-T, but the D is like a T. So you'd have tot. Tot in Egyptian mythology was the scribe of the gods. He was the person responsible for setting time. Now, most when they talk about the gods in Egyptian mythology, any talk about any discussion about any deity applies to us. In other words, you see, when they talk about a deity, you have to look at yourself as being that deity. So mandatory is men tot teru. Teru is a picture or a drawing. In other words, if I'm making up something that I want you to follow, there's my drawing, if that makes any sense to you, if that makes any sense. So mandatory indicates that I have, if I accept the mandate, then I have made it mandatory. In other words, it doesn't become mandatory unless you make it, unless you accept the mandate. That's the power that people have. If you don't accept the mandate, then it can't become mandatory. However, if you accept the mandate, then you have become the mandatory. You actually have become the mandatory, which is a noun in Black's Law Dictionary. But
so,
if you don't accept it, it does not become a mandate.
So is that like
no.
a signature? Is that like a signature being written on what they call a check or paper, which makes it a lie because of your signature type of thing? Is that what you're referring to, sir?
Repeat that again, sir.
Is that like a signature being written on paper on a check, which is not any? Doesn't have any value unless your signature is on it because you're making it come alive. Is that what you're saying? In other words,
yes,
okay.
Yeah, that is correct. Your signature is what makes the piece of paper valuable. Without your signature, it's nothing.
I was just saying. So mandatory means if you agree with it, that's the only power you're giving it. Power is what makes it have power.
That's exactly right. If you agree with it, then that's where its power is derived from.
So I don't mean to stay on so long. So in other words, when someone goes in a courtroom, if they don't object or they don't say they disagree, then everything stands unless their power is through them speaking.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct. In other words, most people will not be able to accept what I'm about to say, but in actuality, you know, when you look at the word, in other words, you are the real power in the court system. Everything is by your consent. You know, everything is by contract. If you do not contract with these people, they have no power over you. If you do not consent to whatever it is that they're offering you, they have no power over you. They have to have your signature, which is a form of your consent, or your word, which is your consent, which is, you know, your bond is your word. Your word is your bond. You know, that's how they do it, by contract, by consent. Signature, word.
So is it safe to say that over 85% of the people don't know that?
Yeah,
it's not safe to say that. We don't know 85% of the people. So, no, we're not going to say that.
Okay.
So, I want to go back to mandate. I want to go back to the word mandate.
That'd be loud.
Okay.
Peace and light.
Now, the word mandate, we got a mandate because it's something anybody can identify with. We got a mandate now that you got to get the COVID shot or, depending on where you work at, you out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who don't accept the mandate don't give the mandate power. That's what you're saying? And the people who submit to the mandate give the mandate power.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. But here's the thing about
Is
that somebody else talking?
Somebody's saying peace and light.
Oh. Okay. So,
Cotton?
Yes?
Hi, sorry. Assalamu alaikum. This is Empress.
I
wanted to know if I can jump in or do I...
Okay, we have another caller. Oh, yeah, hold on for 1 minute, Empress. Hold on. I'm going to let you in. I just want to do the mandate, the power of the mandate. Well, here's the power of the mandate, even for people who don't accept it. They're out of a job that they don't want to be out of. And they haven't accepted the mandate, but they are still out, unemployed, if they are released from work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't mean they can't get work anywhere else.
No, it's not what I'm saying. They're out of a job. They are released from work. They didn't leave work. They just refused to get a vaccine. They're not leaving work. They're being released from work. They're actually being fired, penalized. That's what I'm saying. The mandate has power, even if you don't accept it. Just like if I have a mandate, you bow. I'm a king. Let's make it more plain. If I'm a king and I say you bow down to me or I cut your head off, you can say I ain't bowing and I just cut your head off, which has happened. Right? Okay, I'm gonna let immigrants in. Empress in.
Well, that will only happen if you allow them to cut your head off, though. You know what I mean?
Well, many people have been beheaded. They have not allowed that to happen. Many.
You don't have to allow them to cut your head off. You can, you know, get up out of there or somewhere, you know, sort of way.
No. We got a lot of people that's dead. They didn't want to die, but they're dead. Right? A lot of people. You know, I'm sure Martin Luther King didn't want to die. Malcolm X didn't want to die. JFK didn't want to get shot in the head in front of all the people on national television. I'm sure that's not what they want.
We're mixing apples and oranges.
No, I'm not mixing apples and oranges. I'm just saying people don't want to die, and they die anyway. And we know that because we live in that environment, right? So we're going to let immigrants,
Empress. Word mandate.
No, we're talking about the will of a man. He said, if you don't want to, you can do something about it. I'm saying you can't always do something about somebody trying to kill you. Sometimes you are going to die. That's what I'm saying. You are going to be killed, whether you resist or not. Look at war. All right? Look at things that happen in the neighborhood. We know that. You can resist all
I'm
you
sorry.
Want.
I was looking at the corporation of the United States that's forcing things. They're forcing things that totally opposite.
No, that's the corporation of the United States mandate. We all have mandates. We got mandates in the hood, bro. We got mandates in the hood. Get down the lay down. I don't know if you remember that. You lived through that, right? Right? We got mandates. Don't snitch. Right? People have died for that. People have been burned up in their houses because for snitching. People have been shot for snitching, testifying. So we don't let Empress come in because I don't want to spend too much time on that.
That's another topic. Right. Yeah.
No, that is part. That is the topic. I just made my point, and we're going to keep it moving because we don't have a lot of time. And we ain't going to go back and forth on that. That's what I'm saying. So, Empress, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Welcome to Provocative.
Okay, so, thank you, sir, as always. Blessings to everybody. Hold up to my other brothers. I want to just briefly touch on what you just said, not to go deeply into it, about the people that are being quote-unquote let go. They're not even being fired, per se, but they're being released. The reason why they're trying to use certain language, and language is key, which is what the brother was speaking about earlier, they use particular language. They use Moorish language. They use verse. They use our language. They use African Rite language to trump the corporation, which is Dutch Rite and Scottish Rite, and that's another realm. But Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 actually prohibits, and it has not been overturned. They have not been able to overturn it, which is why a lot of people are now joining the ACLU and different unions to do class action suits against their quote-unquote employers or masters, because what they're doing is unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional against the straw man or the private bodies or even the public bodies. And a lot of people are waking up to that. Like, okay, if you have religious preference, which a lot of people have religious protection, it actually states that it prohibits them from discriminating against individuals because of their religion or lack of religious belief and hiring, firing, or any terms and conditions of employment. The law also prohibits job segregation based on religion, such as assigning an employee to a non-customer contact position, yada, yada, yada. You go forward, it talks about the act requires employers to reasonably accommodate the religious beliefs and practices of the applicants and employees, unless doing so would cause more than a minimal burden on the operation of the employer's business. And this is where we have the mandate, the men debt carry, P-T-E-R-Y, which goes back to the Kemetic, to which the Greeks tried to steal and got kicked out of Kemet, a.k.a. Egypt. Now, I'm just going to leave that there. because I want to get into a little bit of what I believe the brother was trying to portray. And when he was saying that everything has meaning, especially in quote-unquote the bastardized English lexicon, to which I am a professor of, we need to not only look at the etymology, but we need to look at something that's called gematria, G-E-M-E-T-R-I-A. And when we start looking at what is called gematria, some people are like, oh, that's numerology. Look, get your head out your behind and start studying. Because if you look, and I'm just going to go back to, I'm trying to stay family friendly here, but I took a couple of notes.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And I want to go back to my notes. Let's start talking about the mind, okay? We have krinos, we have chronos. We have the creator, and we have the created, right? When we start talking about the mind, everybody knows, oh, 666, oh, that's the devil, whatever, whatever. The best way to keep people from knowledge, the best people to keep themselves away from power is to scare them, is to teach them
exactly,
to stay away from it.
Exactly, exactly. Well said.
Okay. If you look.
I'm sorry I had to say that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister.
You're good. So if you want to start looking at the mind, the actual gematric number for the mind, and I teach this, actually literally teach this, is 666, which is actually 999 because everything was flipped. okay? And when you go into 999, we can even go into the Yoruba. We can go into the Ifa. We can go into Dogon. We can go into the African, the 256, because 999 is the number of what? They say 9 is the number of the occult, the unknown, the unseen, the scary, the forbidden, the deeper. So it's really 999 in the first place. But if you want to stay on the 666, okay, fine, okay, 9 is the 666. Then we go to the origin of mind or thought, right? And it even goes back into where they found it from, which is the Sanskrit, which again goes back to Aramaic, which goes what? Back to Africa. So they had to use our power. It's like we're the diamond that gives the extra power, the extra energy source to the BS, okay? We've always been. We've always been the activator. So with that, you go further and you find mandatory. Well, mandatory is also 666, okay? It goes in the Jewish gematria, it's 706, 607. Look up the numbers. But mandatory is also 111. How many people have been, quote, unquote, woke? They've been seeing 111, 111. They've been telling us, the spiritual realm, God, your divine, however you want to say it, Allah, Yahuwah, Adonai, Hashem, whatever you want to say, a Chi, a Lodumare, whatever you want to call it, has been trying to tell us that the mandates are already coming. 111 has been popping up for everybody. You've got the 111 movement, and they had no clue that the mandate was coming. 111. It's the last days, the last supper. Alcatraz.
Empress.
Yes, sir.
You're going too fast. Now, because you went to 999, 111, and really, I'd like for you to elaborate on all of those things. How was mandatory 999 and 111?
Okay.
If you got a short way to get to it.
So let's slow down. What I'm showing are like points. Okay? This is equal to this. So the mind, they are controlling the mind. The COVID, however you want to say it, if you actually look it up and what it does with mRNA, it actually crosses the blood-brain barrier. It does recalibrate your RNA. It does recalibrate your DNA. It's the mind. This whole situation was to be able to control the mind, just like fluoride, okay? So if you break down 666, there are powers that be. We know that there's powers that be. I call them the puppet masters, okay? Mandatory has the gematric, which, by the way, everything that they do, the quote-unquote Illuminati, Dungeons and Dragons, the High Masons, all of these people follow gematria. They're, like, well-known, and that's why I started studying it for 10 years, because I started realizing that everything has a number value, whether in Hebrew with the tetragrammaton or in quote-unquote right. English, which borrows from Latin and Greek, okay? Roman borrows from Greek, by the way. But all of them borrowed from Kemet. Kemet is in Africa. Even then, it goes even farther back. So what I was showing was that this mandate has been long set to come. This is not it just popped out of the way, and, oh, they're just doing this. No. 666 is the confirmation for mandatory. 111 is the spiritual confirmation for those that are quote-unquote truly awake, or like yourself, Brother Carlson, and the other kings that are on here. They're the ones that are saying, okay, no, we're seeing this. Okay, this is what you're doing. This is all a plan. This is all a setup. Now, what we have to do is continue to tap in, whether you call it the matrix or whether you call it into divine science or divine mind, and see what we need to do. We're too much concentrating on what they're doing. Once you confirm what they're doing, it's just like a chessboard. Okay, I see where you're going, but I've got 15 counter moves to get into your side and get my crown, because that's really what we need to do. We need to get on the other side, bring our families, which is our legacy, our power, to the other side safely, and stop worrying too much what these clowns are doing. They're doing what they're supposed to do. The question that I give to the audience is, what are you doing? Are you prepared? What have you set up? What is your plan B? And to the brother's point, I think what he was trying to say was, don't let yourself get caught. Whether that means moving out of the country, which you can still do for a short period of time, whether that means moving out of state, whether that means changing your mindset and leaving all of the religiosities, because all of them are in cahoots, no offense, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, but really truly getting into your conscious mind and saying, what is the end game? And really, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If anything was ever stolen from us, though, that line right there, Kennedy used it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled this world as an international ambassador. Carlton, you know my history, right? You know what I do. I still travel as an international ambassador. What have I found? People want to live well, not be hungry, and have enough. Not have to be overwealthy, but have enough to be able to enjoy life and not be stressed out. So, yeah, we're looking at this. I'm like, okay, 666 and 111 and the gematria of things and the order of things. They are doing what they're supposed to do. Now, we have to try and protect ourselves as much as possible. Like the brother said, don't get caught. Don't put yourself in line or even in line with people that will get you caught up. And as far as this job thing, okay, there's going to be so many. It's like the Surfside tragedy when the building fell in Miami. There's going to be tons of lawsuits. But what are you going to do in the meantime of the lawsuit? Sometimes what you think is a curse is a blessing. I'm going to end on this. It's a blessing. You now have the out. They fired you. They let you go. Good. Go work for yourself. Now's the time to get true wealth. Get your own life insurance. You get your own part. Not somebody's not taking your overhead. You can work for your own. You can do Shipt and Instacart and make more than 20 and do less hours, 2-3 hours of Shipt and Instacart right now. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just Shipt and Instacart. You can make $25 an hour. The equivalent of making $25 an hour without killing yourself, literally, for 8 to 10 hours. Case loads, aggravation, stress, diabetes, blood pressure, and somebody telling you what you have to do and what you don't have to do. How about people start complaining and see this as a blessing? It is. That's why they're attacking Xfinity right now. And the internet is down across this country. Even where I'm at right now, the internet is down. Why? Because their workforce is saying, screw you, we're taking this, we're taking our freedom. So if you want to tell us what to do, you can kiss my tail. I'm going to do what I want to do. And what I want to do at the end of the day, my brothers, is live. And I don't want to be re-enslaved. I'm getting off of the plantation. I'm getting off of this line. And I'm going to do what I got to do, myself and my king. We are doing
what we have to do.
And making our place for you all to be able to come with us. Peace and blessings. Thank you for giving me your time. Maybe, Carlton, you and I can build on the gematria another time and go a little bit deeper into it and start seeing where the correlations are. But I just want to say thank you.
You have a book that you can recommend about gematria? You have a book?
Bruh, literally just go on Gematrix. I'm not even going to send you to a book. I'm going to just show you there, and then I'll send it to Carlton. A video that I got started on years ago. It's called it's written GEMATRIX or gematrix.org. Literally type in a word and get blown away. And then there's a couple of things like Gematria for Beginners is a really great video. It's a guy, a Caucasian guy, like middle-aged. Listen to him. The 10 minutes is worth it. Start taking notes. Dude, it's just, it's crazy. It's deep.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever read any of Gerald Massey's works?
I have.
You read a book of the beginning?
Which one are you referring to?
The one I just said, the book of the beginnings.
I did. To me, I don't know about you, it came off kind of preachy. Though it didn't try to come from a quote-unquote religio or Judeo-Christian background, I found that it was kind of like pulling and taking. He pulled in from the Kemetic. He pulled in from the Mayan. He pulled in from, quote-unquote, even Rosicrucian. But I just didn't find it was kind of like a lot of information, but not really getting to a point. Right. It is a long read. I'm not saying that he didn't have good points when he was talking about, like, the nature of the earth and the numbers and, like, how, like, a gematria mandatory is also 360 and what the coming about of life is. Like, those points that he was making, okay, yeah, all right, but we've been talking about that for centuries. Tell me something, Dr. York, God bless his head, whatever happened to him, but even Dr. York was telling me about maybe 25 years ago. You see what I'm saying? We are so far beyond him. Even the Yolantria that, mm-hmm. that my husband and I, the other day, we were talking about. Have you read that? It's really long. Mm-hmm. It's really thick. But Urantia, where it talks about how the earth actually began and what it really is and the whole spiritual system, I definitely suggest reading that.
Say it again.
Jordan Maxwell.
Mm. Urantia, U-R-A-N-T-I-A.
U-R-A-N-T-I-A.
T-I-A, yes. So there's four parts. And you can look it up on YouTube. You can get it on Amazon. The Audible app. If you're just doing whatever, I suggest listening to it. Maybe having a notepad by it. It's very deep. It's deep. It's long. It's loaded. But it'll definitely open your eyes up to a lot of what's going on. And this thing was written decades ago. That's a really good read. Hold on, I gotta look it up. I don't remember. Is it Edgar Cayce? I think it is. Edgar Cayce. Let me look it up.
What about Jordan Maxwell?
E-D-G-A-R. It had a couple of contributors, but I believe he was the main author. Was Edgar Cayce? E-D-G-A-R-C-A-Y-C-E.
C-C-Y-C-E. Okay, got it.
As Charlie Alpha Yankee Charlie Ed, Echo.
Got it. I got it. And the first name was E-D-G-E-D-J-A-R?
E-D-G, Golf Alpha Romeo.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much for that, sister. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay,
thank you for everything you said. Everything you said was powerful.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Empress.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, big
okay,
brother.
You're welcome. We got 8 minutes. Rob, you want to finish up?
Yeah, let me just say this much. The word mandatory, again, depends upon you making things mandatory because you know, in Egyptian mythology, the first three letters, man, is men, the god men, which men is the god for he's the god that is responsible for establishing things. So, of course, that applies to us. We are the gods who are the ones who establish everything. You know, Tot is the god who established time. That's us. You know, we're responsible for establishing time and stuff like that, okay? Teru is a drawing. It's a painting, Mendatori. So we don't have to accept any drawing that somebody's giving us. In other words, somebody's saying, you know, this is the reality I want you to live into. You don't have to accept that. You create your own reality. Now, the word required, most people think that, you know, it has the way they use it. They use it, you know, as a command because that is one of the definitions in Black's Law Dictionary. It's a command or order. But the thing is orders are slaves follow orders. Free people don't have to follow orders. People have to get that into their heads. Slaves follow orders and commands. Free people don't have to do that. So required, if you look it up, one of the other definitions of it is to be petitioned or asked. So they're just asking you whether or not you will do a certain thing. And you, of course, have the right to refuse. But most people don't know, you know, they're thinking with a slave mentality. I shouldn't say most people, but it seems like most people are thinking with a slave mentality when they hear the word required. You have to do it. You don't have to do it. It's asking you, and you have the right to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, how many people have the balls to actually stand up? That's another matter. But the words required and mandatory doesn't mean what people think it means. They're not. Everything hinges upon you and what you will do because it's a contract, and you can refuse the contract. You know?
Sounds like mandatory.
You can get your own damn job.
Sounds like mandatory does have to mean what it says. It means do it or else, because that's the result what we're getting from that.
Well, you can engage in that, in the whole fear thing, the whole fear part of that, you know, but it, you know, this is the time for all of us to stand up.
You have a
so
choice.
It doesn't have to be that way. You can, you know, God's going to help those who, you know, who seek ways, you know, to get around things and to survive.
But understand that. But if you're going to adapt to anything, you're going to try to adapt to whatever it is that coming your way. But I'm saying that the word mandatory has power, and it has power to based on what the word means to the politics, to the government. If you don't do it, this is going to happen, right? That's mandatory. It's just not, oh, you got to do it. It's you got to do it, or this is going to happen. That's what comes with that
not
word mandate.
Not necessarily, though. You know,
okay, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. We're keeping it real here. We're talking about we got a mandate. We got a real mandate here, all right? So we know we got people that's resisting the mandate. We got a governor in Texas saying, he put out a mandate. Anybody, I'm going to penalize you if you follow that mandate. You understand what I'm saying? He put his thing out, right? The bottom line is they all have a penalty. They all have a penalty for the thing that they say that they you can or cannot do. It doesn't matter if you do it or not. They're going to penalize you.
Well, how are they going to penalize you? The thing is that you, if you have complete financial freedom, how are they going to penalize you? You know,
who has
if
complete,
you have the power?
Wait, hold,
if you
hold,
have the power,
wait, we need another hour because you just said something that is going. We don't have complete financial freedom. You make your own money.
Well, most people don't, but there are some people who do. And the thing is that even so,
ain't one person that has that.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby went to jail. What kind of?
Yeah, but he went to jail on his own by his own ignorance. You know, he didn't comprehend that he didn't have to use the word I understand. When they probably asked him, do you understand the charges? And he said, I understand. He put himself in jail based upon his own ignorance.
We got 2 minutes, bro. You just opened up another door, but we don't have time to even talk about it. But you want to wrap it up because I got to close the show.
Okay. Well, Carter,
you got 1 minute.
Carter, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it, man. So we got 1 minute. So all I want to say is that, you know, people study words. Go get a copy of Black's Law Dictionary. Get a copy of Gerald Massey's A Book of the Beginnings, Volume 1 and Volume 2. You have to understand the thing with what I was saying about the words. Letters are interchangeable with each other, the vowels, the consonants. And also the ordering of a word. For instance, the word file is the same thing as the word life, just the same letters, just rearranged. You've got to get into that whole thing of what they call anagrams. Okay, very powerful thing. But we got to do some more studying, you know, people, you know, these words, you have to understand these are African words. They're using our own words against us right now. So you got to study stuff. If you do nothing and don't understand that book, look at the root words and see those root words contained within the words that you use every day and start to learn the meanings of them, the primal meanings, okay? Okay, there you go.
That's it? Okay, I want to thank you for being on today. We needed more time, apparently. But you're always welcome to come back. I want to thank all callers, the people who shared with us today. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and the creative, always. Until next week, y'all. Each one reach one. Each one teach one. Peace out.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The
revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.